not going to preach to you. Some of you have heard this. You folks are in pastor school, but I think the young folks of America ought to hear what I'm going to tell this morning. So I want you to sit up straight, look right at me. I'm going to tell you about the most startling soul-winning experience I ever had in my life. It'll shock you. So I want you to listen to it. Look right at me. Everybody still and quiet. I have a prayer that I pray every morning at 6 o'clock. And this is the prayer. Dear God, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. And I pray you to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today. At 9 o'clock in the morning, if I'm alone, or if I'm not alone, as soon as I can get alone, I pray the same prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. And I pray you to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today. At noon, or as soon as I can get alone afternoon, I pray the same prayer. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I pray the same prayer. 6 o'clock in the evening, I pray the same prayer. 9 o'clock at night, I pray the same prayer. And the last prayer, the last thing I do before I go to bed, I pray that prayer. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I pray you to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. I've always thought it's sort of dumb to pray that prayer before I go to bed. You don't cross anybody's path while you're sleeping, and you'd be amazed whose path I dream about, but none of your business. But anyway, the other night, I was playing for the Chicago Bears, and I played running back, scored 3 touchdowns. And sitting on the bench with Jim McMahon when the game was over, the scrubs were out playing, all those first teamers were on the bench. We were way ahead because of my wonderful play. And I said to Jim McMahon, I said, you know how old he, I said, man, you played a good game. He said, you're the guy that won the game. Oh, I said, I give God the glory. And so I was in a motel room when I did this, and I told Jim McMahon, I said, you know how old I am? He said, no. I said, I'm 50. I was lying even then. And then I woke up. I was on the floor. The cover was all over me. I was wrapped in the cover. And but I was a hero. And I've often wondered why I pray that prayer at bedtime. Dear Lord, or Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I pray you to help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. Now here's the story. One night I prayed that prayer. You're listening, young people. One night I prayed that prayer. I was up in a place in Michigan called, what's the name of that place? I was up Port Huron, but I was in a city near Port Huron. I knew I was. That was effeminate. What's that town up there on the river? St. Clair's? Yeah, St. Clair Shores. St. Clair Shores. I was preaching in Port Huron at the Community Baptist Church. Is that it? Yeah. And, that's precious. And, but I was preaching there and staying on the in a motel, St. Clair Shores, Michigan, right there on the river. Just this side, on the other side of the river was a certain country. I'll not call its name. But I could look over and see the slum area across the river. And but Monday night I preached, came home, came back to my room. St. Clair Hotel, I think it's St. Clair Shores Hotel or Inn or something. And, sleep. By 1 o'clock, phone rang. Well, I guess there's a phone. I didn't know. When something goes off at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm sound asleep. You know what you do. You first pick up the telephone, say hello if nobody answers. And then you go to the door, see if anybody's there, nobody's there. Then you push the alarm clock down, and it keeps on ringing. It's not the alarm clock, you know. And so I tried the alarm first. I pushed the alarm clock down, but whatever it was kept on ringing. So I figured it must be the telephone. Now, I was on the wrong side of the bed. I was on this side of the bed. Telephone's over here. And I rolled over there on the other side of the bed. Actually, it's on my right, so it's over this way. And I reached over for the phone. And, of course, when you reach for the phone in the middle of the night and it's dark, you never find the dumb thing. And if you do, you knock it off on the floor. And so I reached for the phone, knocked the whole thing off on the floor, and then had to reach down on the floor. When I did, I rolled myself up in the cover like a hot dog, and rolled myself up in the cover and couldn't, and so I was across the bed. Bed goes this way, and I was across the bed, and it rolled up, couldn't move, rolled up in the cover, and finally got the stupid telephone, and I said, "Hello?" And a female voice said, a teenage voice said, "Is this Jack?" Oh, brother. I began to tingle all over. And I said, "Yes, baby." I didn't say that. I said, "Jack, this is Jack." She said, "Is this Jack Lyle?" My tingle stopped. I said, "No, this is Jack Hiles." She said, "This is Jack Lyle?" I said, "Don't think so." It wasn't when I went to bed anyway. Hanging off the side, my head was hanging off the side of the bed, rolled up like a hot dog, trying to hang on to the telephone to keep from falling. She said, "I'm looking for Jack Lyle." And I said, "I'm sorry, this is Jack Hiles." She said, "I'm sorry." She said, "Jack Lyle is my boyfriend, and he's supposed to be staying in that hotel." And I called the operator and asked for Jack Lyle, and I guess she just thinks since Jack Hiles and Lyle are so much alike, she just got me your room by mistake. And I said, I guess that's what it is. And she said, that name, Jack Hyle, sounds familiar. And I said, I can tell you whether you know it or not. I said, "Number one, have you ever been to church anywhere where I was? She said, "Oh my, I don't go to church." I'm really bad about that. And I said, "Okay. I'm also chancellor of a college." I said, "Hiles Anderson College. You ever hear about that?" And she said, no, if it's Christian college, I never heard about that." Church. And she said, "I don't go to church. Just don't go." I said, "Well, do you know somebody?" Oh, she said, "No, I guess because it's close to my boyfriend's name, I guess I never heard your name." She said, "A very courteous young lady. She's about, I think she's 19. No, I think she's 17. I'll check and I'll write you and tell you. But anyway, she said, "I'm so sorry I bothered you." She said, I hope I haven't ruined your sleep. I hope I didn't wake you up." No, I said I had to wake up to answer the phone anyway. She said, "I'm sorry. I'll let you go back." Hold it. I said, "Hold it." There I was, rolled up in the cover, pitch dark, didn't turn the light on, couldn't find the stupid light, and my head hanging over, sort of like this, hanging over the edge of the bed, and I was across the bed. And I said, "Wait a minute, hold it, wait a minute." I said, "Do you live here?" "No, sir." She said, I'm moving here from Connecticut." And a very, very pleasant little young lady's voice. And I said, "I'm moving here from Connecticut." And I said, "Why is your boyfriend?" "Oh," she said, "I'm moving. I just moved here. My mother died in Connecticut. One week ago. And she said, "I'm moving here. And my boyfriend is supposed to come tonight. He was going to check in the St. Clair Shores Hotel. And I was supposed to call him sometime after midnight because he's supposed to get in about midnight. And I was supposed to call him." And she said, "Please forgive me for bothering you. And I know you need to go back to sleep. Goodbye." Hold it. I said, wait a minute. Don't leave yet. I said, and asked a question. "Was your mother saved?" I thought about that prayer I'd prayed. "Lord, help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes." And I said, "Was she saved?" She said, "Saved from what?" "Oh, saved from sin." And she said, "What does that mean?" She said, "Look, I've bothered you enough. I've got to let you go back." I said, hold it. I rolled up in the cover, head hanging over the side. lights out, couldn't see a thing, and hanging over the side, holding telephone my ear. And I said, "Let me ask you a question. Are you saved?" She said, "What does that mean?" I said, "You know, if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven." And she said, "Well, no. No, I don't know that." I said, "Would you like to know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven?" And she said, "Why, who wouldn't?" I said, "Well, if I told you right now on the telephone how you could go to heaven if you died, would you do what I said?" Well, she said, "I'll listen to you." I said, "All right." So on the telephone, I told her the story of Christ. Now, I won't go into the whole thing. I told her Romans 3:10, 3:23, 5:12, 6:23, 5:8, 10, 9 through 13. And I said, "Now, by the way, what is your name?" She said, "My name is Crincy, K-R-I-N-C-Y. And I said, "Crincy, do you realize now that you're a sinner?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "You realize that if you died now, you'd go to hell?" And she said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Crincy, do you believe that Jesus Christ came and lived and died and rose again to pay for your sin?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Do you believe if you ask him to save you right now and put your trust and faith in him, he'd make you his child?" She said, "I believe that." I said, "Crincy, would you let me pray for you?" She said, "Yes, I would." And I said something like this: "Dear God, help Crincy to know that you love her and that Jesus died for her, and that if she'd trust Jesus as her Savior, she could be saved right now. Even though it's on the telephone, she could be saved right now." I said, "Now, Crincy, while our heads are bowed, I want to ask you if you would to pray this prayer. Dear God," and she started praying on the telephone, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I'm lost. I know I'm lost. But I know that Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. I know that Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. And I do trust Jesus as my Savior now. And I do trust Jesus as my Savior now." And there, listening to her, I heard her as she prayed the sinner's prayer and as she came to Christ. Now, I was still hanging over the side of the bed, talking on the telephone to Crincy. I said, "Crincy, were you serious?" "Yes, I was." I said, "Where would you go if you died now, Crincy?" She said, "Go to heaven if I died now." I said, "That's wonderful." And then Crincy said, she kept calling me Mr. Hiles. She said, "Mr. Hiles," she said, "I can't do now what I was going to do tonight, can I?" I said, "Crincy, what were you going to do?" She said, "Kill myself." She said, "Mr. Hiles, I have in my hand right now a loaded gun. I was going to call my boyfriend. My boyfriend was coming from Connecticut tonight, bringing marijuana and a heroin with him. And he was making me go out and sell it with him. Push it. And then I was going to take this gun and kill myself." She said, "I can't do that now, can I?" And I said, "Crincy, of course you can't." I said, "Now right quickly, promise me something. Put the gun down." I said, "Crincy, lay the gun down beside you." She said, "I've got my finger on the trigger now. All the time I've been talking to you." I said, "Crincy, lay the gun down now beside you." She said she did, and I heard the gun as it touched some piece of wood of some kind, table or something. And I said, "Now, Crincy, don't do that. You're saved. You're going to heaven. You have something to live for." But she said, "Mr. Hiles, I'm afraid of my boyfriend. If I don't push dope tonight with him, he'll kill me. I'm afraid of him. I think she said 17. He's 25. He's coming tonight, and I'm scared. And he'll kill me. If I don't, listen, if I tell him what I've done,
I know what he'll do. He'll kill me.
I said, Crincy, where'd you get the gun? She said, my daddy's a detective in this area. And she said, I got my daddy's gun. And I was going tonight to go out and push dope with my boyfriend. And after that, I was going to take my life. She said, Mr. Hiles, I'm afraid of what will happen if I refuse. She said, could I just go out tonight and push dope just one more time? I promise I won't do it anymore. Let me do it one more time so my boyfriend won't kill me. And I said, Princey, you shouldn't ever do it again. And she said, I'm afraid. And she began to cry on the telephone. I'm afraid. I said, Crincy, tell your dad. He's a detective. He can protect you from your boyfriend. And she said, my dad's bitter at me. I said, why? He said, he blames me for the death of my brother. The death of your brother? Yes, he blames me because my brother died. She said, Mr. Hiles, when I was 12, I talked my brother into stealing the car. My brother must have been a twin. She said, both 12, twin brother. Said, I got the keys, talked my brother into getting the car and driving down two blocks away, or going to drive down to a store somewhere. She said, we took five cans of beer, two joints of pot. We drove two blocks, and we had an accident. And she said, my brother was killed. And my dad blames me for killing my brother. I can't tell my dad. My dad doesn't love me. He's bitter at me. My mother's dead. My brother's dead. All I've got's my daddy, and he's bitter at me. She said, Mr. Hiles, would you please tell my boyfriend what you just told me? Maybe he'll do what I just did. And I said, Crincy, I'll be glad to tell your boyfriend what I just told you. And then she said, could I go to your college someday? I had an excited teenager's voice. Can I go to your college someday? I said, you sure can, Crincy. And I said, you can go to my college someday if you want to. And I said, I'll also talk to your boyfriend. I'll try to get him to do what you just did. I said, now, Crincy, I'm preaching tonight at the Community Baptist Church in Port Huron. Now, I'm preaching in church tonight, and I want you to come and hear me preach. And she said, I don't have a dress to wear. Now, listen, hear me. I don't have a dress to wear. Did you hear that? She had more convictions than some of you kids do. I mean, she said, all I have is pants, and I couldn't wear those to church. That's what she said. Preaching to you, she is. And I said, Crincy, if all you have to wear is pants, you come right on in your pants tonight. And you will certainly be welcome at that church, I'll guarantee you. And I'll be honored to see you and to introduce you to the pastor and others. She said, what church is it? I said, it's the Community Baptist Church of Port Huron. She said, I know where that is. I said, do you go there? No, I don't go there. But I've got a girlfriend named Patty Davenport. Patty goes there, or used to, till a year ago. Her daddy got mad at the preacher, and she doesn't go there anymore. But Patty used to go there. In fact, a singer was there last night singing. And Patty went to hear this singer, because she wanted to hear this singer. She liked to hear him sing. And she brought a tape back and gave that tape to me. I said, what's the singer's name? She said, his name is Ray Hart. I said, Ray Hart, that's the church I'm preaching at. He's singing where I'm preaching tonight. She said, Mr. Hiles, I like his singing. Said, it's sort of old sounding, but I like his singing. I said, Crincy, you'd like the pastor there. He's a young man. She said, how old? Oh, I said, about 36. She said, that's not young. That's old. She said, how old are you? I said, never mind. Then she said, Mr. Hiles, my girlfriend Patty, she went to that church. She used to live like they live there. Brother Daddy got mad at the preacher and he left. And Patty, she said, Patty's bad as I am now. In fact, I think she said, I know she said, Patty needs to do what I just did. By the way, that's what some of you young folks need to do. What you really need to do is get saved. I have a sneaking conviction that you can go ahead and take your dope, listen to your rock music, and live in sin week after week, month after month. I got a sneaking conviction a lot of you never have been saved. And she said, Patty needs to do what I just did. And I said, would you come tonight? And she said, could I get in the water? She didn't know what baptism was called. She'd heard about getting in the water. She said, could I get in the water? I said, well, of course you can get in the water. Well, she said, she didn't call it saved, conversion, or baptism. She said, after folks do what I just did, aren't they supposed to get in the water? Now, bear in mind this, folks, I still hanging off the side of the bed. I talked to that gal for an hour and a half. My head hanging over there, it's dark. I was rolled up like a hot dog in a bun. And I was sticking my head in dark and had a telephone up beside me all that time talking to that little rascal, I mean that young lady. And so I said, I got an idea. I said, Crincy, promise me you'll come to church tonight. Said, come to church this morning or tonight. Now, of course, it's already getting around 2, 2:30. And she said, I can't come this morning. I've got a job interview. But she said, I'll come tonight. And I said, Crincy, tell your friend Patty that you're going to come to church tonight. Tell her what you just did. And you meet me at the pastor's office. Patty will know where the pastor's office is. And you meet me at the pastor's office at 10 minutes till 7. At 6:50, you meet me there. And Crincy said, and she wept. She said, Mr. Hiles, I'm afraid of what the old crowd will do to me. She said, I'm afraid I won't live till 6:50 tonight. She said, if I tell my boyfriend, I won't push dope with him. She said, he'll kill me. I know it. I'm afraid to see him. And I said, Crincy, you've got to do what's right. I said, don't you touch the gun now. And you behave yourself. And don't you push dope tonight. And I'll meet you at 6:50. You know, before she hung up, she said the last thing she ever said. She said, maybe I'll do it one more time tonight and then run away to your college. She said, if I don't, he'll kill me. But she did promise to meet me at 10 minutes till 7 that night. I'll be honest with you, I was nervous as a cat all day long. I could hardly sleep that night. I couldn't wait till 6:50. I wanted to see what Crincy looked like. I wanted to see if Crincy would be there. Oh, that night the pastor came to get me and I started telling him the story and he didn't believe it. He said, it's unbelievable. I said, okay, let me tell you this. You know the name Patty Davenport? He said, sure I know Patty Davenport. I said, it's her best friend. The pastor started listening to me. We got there to the church about 7:15. Man, I paced the floor like an expectant father. And I wanted to know if Crincy was going to show up. Exactly 10 minutes to 7, the pastor and I were sitting in the little waiting room outside his office. Exactly 10 to 7. He went to the door. He didn't come back with anybody. He came back with this envelope right here. On the outside it says, Mr. Hiles. That's the very envelope. He said, Pastor, Brother Hiles, he said, Crincy wasn't there. But Patty was there. And Patty told me to give you this note. It's from Crincy. Now, Crincy is the girl that was saved on the telephone. Patty is her friend. And I opened the note. Mr., this is from Patty. Mr. Hiles, Crincy has been missing since early today. She left this letter in my mailbox. I opened the letter, and this is the very letter I read from Crincy. I had to run away like I did. I didn't have the guts to tell my boyfriend that I couldn't. I needed a way out from peer pressure. I want to die so I can see my brother and tell him I'm sorry that I let him die. We were only 12 years old. We drank 5 cans of beer each and smoked 2 joints of pot each. I told him to drive us to the store. We never made it 2 blocks. He was only 12. I only talked to you for an hour and a half. Actually, he said a half hour, but it was actually an hour and a half. She said, I only talked to you last night for 1.5 hour. But I feel like I know you better than anyone in the world. Did you hear that, kids? I've often said, workers, that no teenager would ever turn out bad if he knew he had one person in the world that really cared. And on the telephone, an old man leaning over the bed, rolled up like a hot dog, lights out, convinced a girl that he cared. But I feel like I know you better than anyone in the world. I wish you could have been my dad and spanked me like you said you would. I told her I was going to spank her if she didn't come to church. I wish you could have been my dad and spanked me like you said you would. I guess what I'm saying is, I love you. I'm going to die. I have it planned. Please talk to Patty. Don't let her end up like me. She's in the same boat as me. Show her meaning to life. You talk to her. You have a special way with teenagers. Tell her about your college, please, for me. Talk to her. I don't want her to kill herself too. Signed, Crincy. My real name is Karen. Crincy is my nickname. And this is the note that Patty wrote and sent it to me. Crincy has been missing since early today. She left this letter in my mailbox for you. There's been a body found near Detroit. They think it may be hers, but they're still checking into it. Signed, Patty Davenport. I never met her. I never saw her, but I was her best friend. I don't even know what she looked like, but she said, she loved me. She said I had a way with teenagers. I went alone in a room. And I wondered how many other hundreds of thousands of teenagers are like Crincy. I wonder how many Crincy's sitting here right now. I wonder how many Patties sitting here right now. Young folks, we don't pick out a bunch of things we think are fun and outlaw them for you. We pick out things that will wreck your life and say, please don't do them. Yeah. I wonder how many Crincy's right now. 5 cans of beer. 2 joints of pot. I tried to get a straight face before the service. It was hard to do. Pastor and I walked in the back door and walked right down. There's a wall right over here, and we walked down the aisle next to the wall. We came to the second row from the front here, and there was a young lady sitting there, and Pastor leaned over to me, and as we walked by, and he said, that's Patty. That's Patty. And I said, Pastor, I'm going back to the baptismal dressing room area here. There's a little waiting room back here. I said, tell Patty to come back. I want to talk to her. And Patty came, and I said, Patty, I'm Brother Hiles. I'm the one that talked to Crincy. I said, have you heard anything else since 10 minutes ago? And Patty said, yes. They found her body. What I'm trying to say is, I love you. I feel like I know you better than anybody else in the whole world. Did you hear that, workers? 1.5 hours on the telephone. That's all she needed. Somebody to care.
Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore, touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness,
chords that were broken can vibrate once more. Kids, look at me a minute. Everybody look right this way. Nobody's mad at you. You think an old man, you know what? You know, I'll be 60 years old my next birthday in just about 2.5 months. I told my people Sunday, I said, pray for me. Hardest thing I do all year is conduct youth conference. I have an awful hard time understanding how an old man like me could have any appeal to a bunch of kids coming from all over America. I said, you got to pray for me. You think an old man like me would stand up here and make a fool of himself if he didn't care? Some of us love you.